Coming to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's golf and other four-letter words. And now your host, you've heard him on ESPN, Fox Sports, and SiriusXM Radio, Mr. Dennis Silvers.
I guess better late than never. You know what I'm saying? Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. As mentioned, I'm your host and glad to be your host. Proud of it. Dennis Silvers, and we've got a great, great show in store for you tonight. So let's get right to it. I want to tell you a little bit about our very special guest sitting right next to me. Mike is the Director of Instruction for Walters Golf right here in Las Vegas, and also voted by Golf Magazine as one of their top 100 instructors, which is a big time deal. And Mike, before I formally introduce you, being a top 100 guy, what do you think the guy that's number 101 is thinking?
yeah, kicking himself.
Kicking himself, all right, let's give it up for my good friend, Mr. Mike Davis right now. Okay. Welcome, buddy.
Thank you.
Glad you can,
great to be here.
Glad you can make it. We're gonna have a lot of fun tonight. Mike is very, very knowledgeable about the game of golf and about the golf swing in particular. So when we get to our last segment, Handicap Helper, he's going to help you. He's going to help me. We want your email questions. We want your live chat questions. And all right, I could just hear you. Well, Dennis, how do we get a hold of you? Well, this is how you get a hold of us. A little housekeeping. We've got email, of course, and that is simply golf@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also got live chat, as I mentioned. You can go to VegasVideoNetwork.com and hit that little live chat icon. Send in your question for myself or Mike. Also have a toll-free listener line. And that is simply 866-966-4599. It is right there on the screen. Okay? So we'd love to hear from you. Take your questions, suggestions, anything you want to throw our way. We're gonna handle it. Let me take care of some business also and thank our strategic partners. Of course, you know I'm talking about AM 1400 KSHP. Friday night features, 6 to 10 every Friday night. They replay all of the audio versions of all the great shows right here on Vegas Video Network. So if you're hanging out, driving the boulevard, going shopping, whatever, turn on AM 1400 on Friday nights. Check us out. Also, Golfer's Guide. Okay, great publication. America's largest golf publication, published regionally, as you know. They are very kind to show our shows on their homepage. Very cool. And you can simply find them at lasvegas.golfersguide.com. Okay, and they, of course, features various golf courses in your area, golf retailers, equipment outlets, and so on and so forth. So pick it up at your local muni or private club, whatever. You're familiar with Golfer's Guide.
Absolutely.
Good publication.
Yeah. I've written some articles for them a couple of times.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've had inserts in there sometimes, but it's a great publication.
It is a great publication. That does not surprise me. So there you go. We're going to have a lot with Mike. He's got a lot to say. We've got a lot to ask him. Before we get to our first feature, tournament scorecard, just came back from a great, great trip to Georgia, specifically Woodbine, Georgia, which is a place that's right next to the banks of the Cumberland River. It's about 30 miles from Jacksonville, mm-hmm. Florida Airport, called Cabin Bluff. Went there on a media trip, met some great other media people. Cabin Bluff, in case you haven't heard of it, is considered to be one of the finest retreat facilities in the nation. Okay, get this. Other than serving unbelievable Southern cuisine, they have shooting, okay, they do quail, they do wild boar, they do wild turkey. You can go nature hiking and biking, kayaking, canoeing, and of course, you can play golf. Played a very, very unique golf course designed by Davis Love III. It's a six-hole golf course, Mike, where you play it three times. You play it from different sets of tees to different pins on the green, okay, and they could stretch this thing to 6,400 yards. It's very unique. It's really, really something special, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Check them out. Just go to cabinbluff.com. You'll see what I'm talking about, but I did want to give them a nice shout out because they got some absolutely great people there. All right, time for our first segment with myself and Mike. And you know what we call it? We simply call it Tournament Scorecard. All righty, we're back with more golf and other four-letter words. I'm your host, Dennis Silvers, with Mike Davis from Walters Golf. Steve Stricker.
Unbelievable.
Pulls off the very elusive three-peat, okay, and wins at the John Deere Classic on a course that yielded a lot of low scores, to say the least. Lots of great things happening to Steve Stricker because of his win as a result, and here's just a couple of them. Moves from number 9 to number 4 on the money list, Mike, with $3.371 million. World ranking, very important, went from number 5, and he stayed at number 5. So why win the tournament? If you're going to win a tournament, you don't move in the, you know, the world. That seems kind of weird, but he's doing okay at number 5. FedEx Cup race at the end of the year. Moves from number 12 to number 2, which
big
is
move.
Important. Yeah, it's a big move. 1,673 points. Scrambling. This is a good one, too. Moves from number 5 to number 1. And that is an important stat, scrambling.
Yeah. He may be the best ever from wedge play in when you combine putting with it. I'm not sure who I put ahead of him.
Very good. World,
on all-time rankings.
Absolutely very good. Another interesting thing, and we talked about this a couple times on the show with some other people, strokes gained putting. Moved from number 3 to number 1. And in case you folks out there are not familiar with that, that simply means, you know, if he's hitting a shot into the green, as Mike just alluded to, if he's 25 yards, 50 yards, 75 yards, just off the green over a bunker and gets it up and down, for instance, or he gets it on the green too, but they track all that stuff. So moving to number 1 in strokes gained putting means he's getting it up and down an awful lot.
He's hitting good shots.
Yeah, he's got it. You know, you can't say enough about the short game, right?
Phenomenal. Absolutely necessary part of the game.
That is absolutely where the game is. Before we go on, you teach a lot of people, and you teach people of all different levels.
Right.
What do you tell them about the short game and how they should approach it and your philosophy about the short game? Because it is so important in the game of golf.
The best way to explain it would be to say that pick their favorite sports team. What's your favorite sports team?
Los Angeles Dodgers.
The Dodgers. You're the coach of the Dodgers. And all of the strokes you might use around the green are the players on the team.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to do that. Somebody else, the major league, owns the Dodgers. Usually I say I'm the owner.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there. We aren't talking about that. But let's say I'm the owner and you didn't pick the Dodgers. I want you to practice all the players. If I show up at practice sometime and you got a couple players sitting on the bench, maybe your pitch shot isn't getting practiced today.
Right.
You know, I paid money for that guy.
Right.
You got to practice him. So your obligation as the coach is to practice all the players.
Exactly.
And you want to develop options for different situations. Mm-hmm. You want to have a low shot that'll run, a higher one that'll stop. You want to work on a cut shot, maybe bunker shots, putting. And then when the game is played, you choose the player you like the most for the situation. Mm-hmm. So it's all about creating feel and control with different options and then playing with feel, playing with what just comes up there.
Absolutely. That was very well said. You know, by the way, Mike, you could maybe be the owner of the Dodgers and think of your bankruptcy and this guy walked away and... I don't know. Yeah. They're looking for an owner, aren't they?
I know it. That's a good opportunity.
Maybe the league owns it or something. You know, who would have thunk it? You know, as they said, the dynasty that the Los Angeles Dodgers had. Just absolutely unbelievable. All right. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to step away, take a short station ID here. And when we come back with birdies and bogeys with Mike and myself, we got a couple of really, really good ones in this segment. You know what this is about. You know, articles about the tour, the gossip, what's happening, some of the strange and unique stuff. So we're going to take a short station ID. Stay with us. We're back with you right after this for birdies and bogeys.
Hi, I'm Chris Phillips from Talk Tales, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And if you stop by the studio, our producer Scott's going to buy everybody a drink.
Hi, Chris. Chris Phillips, a.k.a. Zoe Bowie, does a great show right here on Vegas Video Network, I think Mondays at 4 o'clock. They do a lot of drinking, so he has he thinks he remembers he's having a good time on the show. But anyway, welcome back to our show, Golf and Other Four-Letter Words, on Vegas Video Network. Dennis Silvers along with Mike Davis, birdies or bogeys. I'm going to tell you, give you a situation. You tell me, birdie, bogey, whatever, and you tell me why you think that. This is interesting. Playing since the age of two, Mike, a six-year-old girl makes a hole-in-one. Her name's Reagan Kennedy, makes an ace on an 85-yard hole in her hometown of Bloomington, Illinois, and has no reaction after she knocks it in the hole because her father always taught her not to make a lot of noise when she plays on the golf course. So what do you think?
We got both that time, Dennis. We got a birdie and a bogey.
Yeah.
Birdie for her for the shot. And it's supposed to be fun. You got to have fun on the game. You can't make it so serious. There's a point where you got to keep it toned down a little bit, but you got to have fun. And that's a situation where she's got to enjoy herself.
Yeah, in fact, she was playing with her 13-year-old sister, and after she went over to the cart and sat in the cart, her 13-year-old sister came over to her and said, "Reagan, it's okay to shout a little bit when you make a hole-in-one. Other people, will understand." But congratulations to her. I'm sure, hopefully, it's the first hole-in-one in a whole line of hole-in-ones. All right, top-ranked coach, one of your brethren, Hank Haney, says that, in his opinion, Mike, an American will not win the Open Championship that starts tomorrow. He thinks the European players right now have more talent than the Americans, because Hank says, "Hey, come on! Look, out of the top 15, we've only got 6 Americans. So yeah, I'm going with a Euro to win the Open Championship again starting tomorrow." Birdie or bogey on Hank?
Oh, bogey for Hank.
Yeah.
He's done some things. I wouldn't count the Americans out. The young group of players we've got right now are very competitive, they're very creative, they're long. There's some really long players, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those guys step up.
Yeah, I hope so. And it's my favorite major, because I've been over there a number of times. I've played a number of the courses that are in the Rota, and I like it, because if you got a true open, you got the cold, you got the rain, you got the wind, and they're supposed to get a little wind tomorrow. There's forecast for rain over the weekend, so it's going to be interesting. So bogey on you, Hank. I agree with Mike. Let's root for the Americans. All right. In a 6-week stretch, Mike, that began at the LPGA Championship, the LPGA will play 4 events, 3 of the 4 being majors in a very short period of time. Is that too much, too soon?
I think so. I think when you bogey? Got it, when you bogey on that one. I think when you got a major tournament, it really needs a couple of weeks at least preparation beforehand. And I guess sometimes the scheduling just doesn't permit it. That's the only way they could do it. But that's too close together.
That's
a bogey.
That is a bogey. I think they gotta rethink that. So I know they get issues. That we've talked about on the show. But I think easily fixed. So we're gonna see. Speaking of the LPGA. Mike, they announced that in 2013, a couple of years, they will add the French-based Avion Masters as the tour's 5th major.
Wow.
Okay. The PGA Tour has been talking sometime, on and off about adding the Players' Championship, making that the men's 5th major, which I think is never going to happen. But they're going to add the Avion Masters and make it the 5th major.
Yeah.
Birdie or bogey?
Birdie.
Birdie.
I think going international is one of the great things for the LPGA. And I don't watch the LPGA as much as the PGA for a couple of reasons. I got some players I'm working with on the PGA Tour, and I don't have any LPGA players right now. But they need exposure. They need to grow. They need to work at making the game international is good for them. And if it's good for them, it's going to be good for golf.
Well, I agree with you in the sense that, yes, they need to make the game international. But I think one of the motivations, Mike, of doing this, they add a 5th major, and I think they're hoping that's going to stir some emotion, mm-hmm. stir more interest, get yeah. a larger viewing mm-hmm. audience, because let's face it, mm-hmm. Viewership, yeah. Attendance at their tournaments has not been the greatest.
Right.
So I think they're going to mm-hmm. use this to mm-hmm. maybe get people excited about it.
I think it's a good marketing tool. And I think their majors are the main ones that get shown on a
Absolutely.
Larger network TV, so it really
point.
Gets them better exposure.
Great point. We have a local lady right here. Does AVN Masters ring a bell with you, with a local lady right here? Am I putting you on the spot?
Yeah.
All right, Natalie Gulbis.
Okay.
One and only tournament win, AVN Masters.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. A little trivia for you. Yeah.
Got to keep track.
And I could just see her. Oh, no, I won a tournament 3 years ago, and now they're making it a major. So she can't say that she won a major, you know, when they change it. But, that was her
win.
Yeah, yeah. All right, time for my favorite segment in the show. This is where we'd love to take your live chat. We'd love to take the toll-free listener line, send us emails. Mike is here to help your game, help my game. We have a lot of fun with this. It's serious stuff, mm-hmm. too, but we have a little bit of stuff. And we call this segment Handicap Helper. All right, welcome back, everybody. Handicap Helper, Mike Davis, Top 100 Teacher by Golf Magazine. I'm not a Top 100 instructor. I'm a Top 100 television host. If that counts for anything, Dennis Silvers. Glenn, Mike, would like some clarification. I think this is a good question on the difference mm-hmm. between rhythm and timing. I think it's an excellent
good
question.
Good question. Rhythm, and again, you'll get definitions, everybody would different. Rhythm, in my mind, is the overall tempo of the swing, how smooth it is going back and through. Timing is the sequence of motion of the body parts. So getting your legs to go at the right time compared to your arms, compared to the club, would be a timing in my mind. And you can have good timing with either a quicker rhythm or a slower rhythm.
Right. Can you give us an example? And I'm thinking of one of my favorite players, a guy who's got quick timing but also has great rhythm. A guy like Nicky Price?
Nick Price, Ricky Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
My era, Lanny Watkins, very quick. And had great timing.
And
very
great
quick
timing.
Swing, but great timing.
Yeah.
And there are probably more players that have a slower, smoother tempo that succeed, because I think it's a little harder when you're quick to get the timing.
Yeah.
But you can do it both ways.
You can do it both ways. And those are three great examples mm-hmm. of guys that have been very, very successful. Got a live chat question, Scott.
Yep. Bill wants to know, he just received some hand-me-down clubs as a gift. How does he know if they're the right size for him?
Good question. You've got several measurements in that. Grip size, if he's standard grip, standard hand size, then they should fit. The length of the club and the shaft flex are the other two real variables. You can check the flex based on his club head speed. If he swings about 80 to 90 miles an hour, a regular shaft is perfect. If he's
right.
above 90 to 95, stiff shaft. If
right.
he's over 100, probably maybe 105 extra stiff. But the most important component is to make sure the sole hits the ground flat. And the only way to check that is to put some tape on the bottom, some electrical tape on the bottom of the club, and go hit a ball, a real swing off of a hard board, and it'll make a mark. And if that mark's on the heel or on the toe, they can be adjusted a couple of degrees either direction, but they need to be adjusted so that we can get them flat. Otherwise, you get a lot of compensating problems.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an excellent point you make as far as having, and everybody ought to check this, having your club, because if the heel's up too much, mm-hmm. if the toe is up too much, you're going to hit it left, you're going to hit it right, and
right.
You don't want to do that. So
and
very
the major
good
problem is there's a difference on every club. In other words, a wedge would make a bigger distortion than a 3-iron.
Exactly.
So if you learn to compensate for one club,
right.
doesn't work for the
it's
rest of them.
Because of the law.
It's a
that's
problem.
That's a very, very good point. All right. Walt says, Mike, he's having difficulty hitting shots fat. Any advice? Go on a diet, Walt,
yeah,
if you're hitting them fat. But that's a good question.
And fat shots can be caused by a couple of faults. The major one is that his weight's on his back foot at impact. So I'd see that either being caused by not turning well or by throwing the club or using his arms too much. So the correction I would make is to try to quiet his arms down and make sure he gets on his left foot, his forward foot, at impact.
Yeah, great. It's called weight transfer. A lot of people are good. Yeah. They hang back on their right. They just hit it with their hands and arms. You got to, you know, your back right, you got to get the weight forward on your lead foot.
Yeah. Usually it's from trying for too much power.
Yeah.
And people think that power comes from the arms moving the club faster. And we're back to that timing question.
Yes.
If you get the right sequence, you're not working very hard, and you can create a lot of power.
Yeah, good advice. Hope that helps you, Walt. Another live chat question, Scott.
Yeah, I got a couple ones. First from Ted. Ted says, Walter's Golf has a number of courses here in Las Vegas. Which is the best for the more novice player?
I would say Desert Pines. It's a little smaller, a little shorter. It's got a lot of real neat characters to it.
Very well designed.
Holes, very, very good condition right now, but it's a little bit shorter, and most of the fairways bank into the middle.
Yeah, love it. And great views.
Great views. It's a great, one of my favorite views is looking across that practice green at downtown.
It's really wonderful. Nice. And like you say, it's always in great shape, and I send a lot of people over to Desert Pines. Very good. Mm-hmm. Another question, Scott.
Yes, sir. Nate wants to know, which is the most important or critical club in a golfer's bag? I mean, I know they're all important.
Ooh, that's a great
that's
question.
That's a good question.
But which one is the most important?
The one you use the most, putter.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't putt, you're just fighting yourself. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. If you can drive the ball well, then you can play the game. If you drive it poorly, the way I like to put it is it's like the second serve in women's clay court tennis. You can't win with the drive, but you can lose.
Yeah.
But if you can't putt, you're just going to be suffering forever.
That's where you can save strokes the fastest. Absolutely. It's a flat stick. There's no doubt about it. That's a good question. Anne Marie is wondering about whether or not to invest in gap wedges. Interesting question because it is coming from a woman. And I don't mean that in any kind of a way, but when you talk to women golfers, amateurs, usually they're not concerned about gap wedges.
No.
So what do you say?
What you're trying to do with a set of clubs is create spaces between each club so that if you're hitting a sand wedge 80 yards and a pitching wedge 120 yards, there's a gap. And you'd like a gap wedge to fill that gap. That's kind of the name of it. Most of the top players have about 20 yards between their wedges and about 10 yards between the real bulk of the clubs. From 9-iron to a 6-iron might have only 10 or 12 yards between each club. But you're trying to use clubs so that with a nice, smooth, full swing, you're spacing the clubs out so that you're covering all the distances.
Yeah, that's very, gap wedges are very important. And
It's a very valuable
it's
club.
It's a very valuable, do gaps in your teeth count for anything?
Yeah,
I got, all right. Lee needs some explanation as to what a knockdown shot is and how to do it because he says he lives in a very windy part of the country, Mike.
Knockdown shot's basically a lower shot with hopefully a little bit less spin. And we're trying to keep the ball either under something, under a limb, or I've had a lot of experience out of the trees.
Under branches,
Oregon.
Yeah.
And how to do it, you'd like to play the ball back in your stance, but you don't want to hit down on the ball. If you hit down, you'll almost like tiddlywinks, you'll pop it up. So I like to play the ball back, take a little bit more club than I need, and drag the club head through. So the handle stays ahead of the club head through impact, so I'm not working down, and what you end up with is a much lower shot with less spin.
Yeah, because the other way you said, if they hit down on it, it's gonna get to roll up the club face.
You're gonna create spin, and sometimes pops, and it just gets into trouble.
Oh, good advice. Scott, another live chat?
Yeah, actually, this is from me.
Okay.
So you you teach professional golfers.
Right.
But do you also teach amateurs? You know, beginners?
Primarily amateur. I've got about 8 professional golfers that I'm working with right now, and they occupy maybe 5% of my time. I don't travel on the tour, really, so if they want to work with me, they need to come to Vegas.
Most
of them are based here. So the bulk of my business is with amateurs.
Yeah. Do you get frustrated, you know, with an amateur who's not quite getting it versus a pro?
I look at it as a challenge. one of the job requirements is patience, and it's like a puzzle. So everybody's different. Everybody has different abilities and different time abilities. Yeah. They just can't practice as much as maybe they'd like. So that I look at it as, how can I help this person get this thing that they need in the time that they've got and the ability they've got? Yeah. So it's always just another challenge for me.
No, you know, and I've seen Mike teach enough. He's excellent, and he's got a lot of patience. You know, he'll come, even a professional player will come up and say, yeah, you got that okay. We'll get that next week, sure. You know, and anyway, Jamie says he's having trouble hitting high shots when needed. Any help?
A lot of times high shots are really solid contact, but to hit it high, you need an upright swing, and you need solid contact, and you need club head speed. The people who hit it high played on the tour. You can think about Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Greg Norman, all very upright swings. So whenever I want to hit it higher, I move the ball forward just a little bit. So I'm going to hit the ball at about the bottom of the arc, and I let my arms work up and up a little bit faster. The club's working up higher.
Mike, real quickly, why do some people, when they pick up the game, naturally become a high ball hitter and some naturally become a low ball hitter? Why does that happen?
It's a good question. Because everybody's built differently. And one of my challenges in working with students is trying to find the swing that they can repeat the easiest. What swing? And sometimes it's swinging around more, sometimes it's swinging up and down more.
Right.
I've got, you know, some of the best golfers I work with right now. One guy, Andre Gonzalez, is on the tour, and he's got a very unusual swing. My son is working his way back out on the tour, and they played together, and Brian's got a very flat swing. Yeah. Andre's very upright.
Yeah, very upright.
It's just finding the one that they can repeat the
right,
best.
Exactly. Do you like that look, Andre? You know, former UNLV guy right here. He's got the long hair. He's got the beard. You like that look on him?
For the reasons he's doing it, Andre's father died of pancreatic cancer, and he's doing it for Locks for Love, which is a charitable organization, a charity where they make wigs for kids
that's
who
awesome.
Have cancer.
Yeah, go Andre. Okay.
He's a great young man.
He is.
It's a great
A lot of talent, too.
Tremendous talent.
Max says he wants to go to a short game school. Any recommendation? I only say this because Mike is a lead instructor for the Golf Digest school. But any recommendations on a short game school?
Well, if you want to go to a short game school, Dave Pelz is a very good one. You can find some others. Most of the top schools offer a short game option. And if you want the social aspect and the travel and going somewhere else, that's a good idea. But honestly, you'd probably get more out of it to find a local instructor who's qualified and specialized on short game with him.
Yeah, and they're right there in your backyard. You don't have to go anyplace. That's very good advice. All right, that's Handicap Helper. I sure hope that those questions that were answered helped everybody that sent them in. And he's the guy. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. We got some golf, real good golf this week. Of course, PGA Tour and the European Tour kind of combining together, if you will, for the Open Championship, as we mentioned, that starts tomorrow at Royal St. George's in Sandwich, England. That's always a good one, our second major of the year. PGA Tour also, for the guys that aren't playing in the Open, PGA Tour has an event going on, the Viking Classic in Madison, Mississippi. LPGA Tour, no events. The gals are off. Champions Tour, no event. Nationwide Tour, however, is in action. The Chiquita Classic at TPC Rivers Bend, and that's in Mainville, Ohio. And whoever wins that tournament, it's a huge banana, you know, as a trophy. Chiquita Classic. Okay, that wasn't good. Anyway, Mike, great job as always.
Thank you.
I would be remiss. Who do you like to win the Open that starts tomorrow?
You know, I like Bubba.
You like Bubba?
I like Bubba after the faux pas he made.
And
I think it was in France a couple of weeks ago. He's got unbelievable talent, the length to handle a course like that, the creativity to handle it. And I think he feels like he did some bad things and wants to make up for it.
Wants to make up for it. Yeah, it could be. He's certainly got the talent. I'm going with Lee Westwood. I think he's coming in with a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. He's overdue for a major.
Yeah.
Loves Lynx golf, is used to that. He's got the imagination for Lynx golf, as I said last week. Three things you need to win an Open Championship. You need experience, You need imagination and you need more experience. So I think that's going to happen. But anyway, if you get a chance to watch the Open, certainly do. Anyway, thanks, Mike, for coming in. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. I'm your host, Dennis Silvers. I want to thank Mike Davis. And we're going to be right back here next week, same place, same time, with another great show. So thanks for hanging with us, everybody. And we'll see you back again next time. So long, everybody.